This week, four Christians are going to the European Court of Human Rights to argue that, yes, they are. All four say that British laws are failing to uphold their freedom of religion. Shirley Chaplin lost her job as a nurse after she was banned from wearing the crucifix she'd had around her neck for 30 years. Her employees said it was a health and safety risk. Another case is Gary McFarlane. He lost his position as a relationship therapist because he admitted he would find it difficult to cancel same-sex couples because of his faith. The final two cases are Nadia Awada, a BA employee who was prevented also from wearing a cross, and Lillian Ladelli, who was disciplined by Islington Council for refusing to conduct civil partnership ceremonies. So are British Christians being undermined? If you have a view on this, maybe you are a Christian who feels that your views are being stifled by society. 0500 909 693. Maybe you're an employer that's been on the receiving end of one of these claims that you are discriminating against your Christian staff. And you'd like to call me this morning on 0500 909 693 and have your say on 5 Live. Andrew Marsh joins us. Andrew's from the Christian Legal Centre and is working on two of these cases. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Phil.
And Keith Porteous Wood is from the National Secular Society. Keith, morning to you as well.
Good morning.
Andrew, let's start with you then. You're working on two of these cases. What's legally, what's the essence of your case? Which law do you feel is being broken?
Well, I think what's at stake in these cases is the question is, in a democratic and civilized society, can we and how do we cope with difference, with diversity, with difference of viewpoint, belief, religion, and indeed dissent? And the issue at stake then is to do with freedom, freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, which is strongly protected under the European Convention of Human Rights. And the critical question in these cases is, could these four Christian individuals, could their Christian faith have been reasonably accommodated without damage or detriment to anybody else? And the answer to that is yes. And the fact that they were therefore removed from their work indicates an opposition to their Christian faith.
I'd like to deal with a couple of the cases separately if we can, because I do feel that they're slightly different. If you take the crucifix cases, first of all, I mean, before I did this, I used to work in kitchens. And I wasn't allowed to wear any jewellery at all. Now, that wasn't a religious issue. That was to do with health and safety around food and a kitchen environment. And if I'd cut my finger, like a paper cut or something, and we had to wear a bright blue plaster to make sure that everyone knew that had happened. Now, these are basic health and safety rules that have to be adhered to regardless of religion, aren't they?
Well, I think the two things to quickly to say about Shirley's case with respect to the health and safety point. First, when the uniform policy was implemented and Shirley was asked to remove this cross, which, remember, she had worn for nearly 30 years without incident, no mention was made of the health and safety issue. It was an issue of visibility. Health and safety considerations were raised later, but Shirley responded to those and was prepared to make accommodations. The issue of if the chain were pulled by a patient, it could cause injury to the patient or to her. She was prepared to respond to that by having a magnetic clasp fitted. So she was prepared to accommodate. But all that she was offered was to hide the cross that she were wearing. The second issue is that accommodations and much more generous accommodations were made for those for the dress of other religions, including the wearing of jewellery. So
what you're looking for really is consistency across the board.
Yes, I think first consistency, and second that there needs to be a reasonable, a justifiable reason why a freedom in a very gentle and small way to manifest faith should be restricted.
Keith Porteous, what is sat there shaking his head next to you? Elaborate on why you're shaking your head.
Well, the National Secular Society is fighting these cases because we believe that if they are successful, that it will actually create a hierarchy of rights with religion at the top. And I think that could be catastrophic for both employers and for gay people.
What do you mean by that, a hierarchy of rights?
Well, at the moment, it's supposed to be an equal playing field where each competes on the circumstances of the case. But I think what all of these four applicants are trying to do is to show that is to regard religion as being some kind of trump card that goes on the top of everything else. And if we look at those gay cases in particular, the direct consequence of giving the accommodation that's sought is actually to discriminate against gay people, and that undermines their dignity, their position in life.
Well, hang on, if we can be specific, because I think it's probably more helpful for the debate. The case we mentioned in the introduction is of a relationship therapist who has admitted he would find it difficult to cancel a same-sex couple.
Right, OK, well, as far as Gary McFarlane is concerned, He went into an organisation that was very definitely an equal opportunities organisation. And it's really part of Avon Relate's ethos that they should deal with everybody equally. And he's saying that he doesn't want to do that. And I think that undermines the whole organisation. And I think it would be unreasonable for them to allow him to say, oh, well, actually, I don't want to deal with gay people. It suggests that he isn't going to treat everybody equally. So, and that just can't be permitted.
For you, Keith, where does faith come in the league table of him? I mean, you talk about it being a trump card. Where would you place it? How important does faith become?
I think there are reasonable accommodations can be made. For example, there were attempts to do that on the crucifix side with Shirley Chaplin. It was the suggestion that she put it underneath a tunic so it couldn't be grabbed, or that it be put behind her lapel. So similarly, it can't be grabbed. And there are also...
And you'd be happy with
hygiene issues. Yes, perfectly. And there were hygiene issues. So, I mean, she just didn't want to do that.
What, Andrew, as the from the Christian Legal Centre, why would you not be happy with that? Because we need to now explore the reasons why people of various faiths wear certain items, don't we? And is it just for them and their own comfort? And if so, if it's under a shirt collar, it makes no odds. They know they're wearing it.
No, I think that, and Keith's comment here, really misses the point, because what is important to Shirley is that her Christian faith, her trust in Jesus Christ is real. It's a real relationship, and it actually is part of her identity. It defines who she is, and it is what drives her to serve others in the community in that nursing career. So it's not something that is private and can be hidden away. She's not one at all to force her beliefs on others, but she does want to manifest and reflect in a very gentle way.
And what about Gary's case? I mean, do you really think it's reasonable for him to say, actually, I can't cancel a same-sex couple because of my faith? He wouldn't be allowed to say, I can't cancel a black couple because I don't like black people, would he?
Well, a few things to say on Gary's case. First, he was a relationships counsellor and established relationships counsellor, and then undertook a training course to a new area of sex therapy. And in the process, he expressed a possible hesitation towards giving sex therapy to homosexual couples on account of his Christian faith. As a result of that, he was sacked for gross misconduct. It seems disproportionate. But two, perhaps even more important...
Hang on. Before we get onto whether it's disproportionate or not, because that's not for us to say, just on that decision itself, is that not... You're saying he's been discriminated against, but is he not the discriminator? Is he not saying, I've come into a job where I have to counsel people in the area of sexual relationships, but that particular area over there, I'm not going to counsel in?
I think he comes into the job wanting to serve people. The actual scenario never arose, and there were many other counsellors who would be prepared, able and willing to provide that kind of sex therapy. So the question
But you haven't
is,
answered my question. My question directly to you is he not the discriminator here?
No, of course, all of us come with our viewpoints and beliefs, and Gary's viewpoint that he brings to sex therapy is that sex is, in the context of marriage, is the right place for sex.
But when you enter a profession, and that kind of relationship therapy is a profession, isn't it? When you enter a profession, you have to park your views. I can't air my views on the radio.
I think the obligation for Relate is for Relate as an organisation, if it chooses to offer that service. Could Relate have offered that service to anybody who wanted it and still accommodate Gary? Yes,
they
could.
Or, isn't the question, could Relate have opened themselves up to prosecution by allowing someone to work for them who says, I will cancel you, but I won't cancel you?
No. If Gary had been the only counsellor who could offer this and Relate wanted to offer this kind of counselling, that would be a different issue. But there is no danger. It's a hypothetical situation. There was no danger of anyone being denied a service to which they're entitled or indeed that Relate wanted to offer. And if in an organisation we can't accommodate and recognise diversity of opinion, and there is great diversity of opinion on this subject, as we're seeing even at the moment in the context of, if in an organisation we can't, and even in a government body, work around and accommodate the diversity of opinion, what hope have we of reflecting that in society and building a cohesive community?
You're talking to me about reflecting a diversity of opinion, but this one man's opinion of gay people can't be reflected because he doesn't want to work with them.
In fact, Gary was prepared to work with individuals, but in this specific issue of sex therapy, he didn't feel that his conscience allowed that.
Okay, Keith Porteouswood, briefly.
Well, this is a Rosa Parks moment, that it wouldn't have been satisfactory if she had been able to say there's a second bus that'll allow black people on it, and therefore I don't have a reasonable, I can't say that I'm being discriminated against. She was, and it was outrageous. And the harm done to by discriminating against gay people or people on regards of their racial characteristics and of accommodation.
But in a largely secular society in 2012, surely, Keith, you would respect the fact that we have to respect people's faiths and the importance that faith plays to them.
Absolutely, at home and in their worship, but not in the public sphere and not in the commercial sphere.
OK, gentlemen, thank you both for discussing it with us. Keith Porteouswood from the National Secular Society, Andrew Marsh from the Christian Legal Centre, who's working on two of those cases. And I think, Andrew, we'll get those judgments tomorrow, is that right?
The hearing's tomorrow, judgments in a few weeks' time.
It'll be a reserve judgment.
And the National Secular Society intervened in the case, yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much indeed.